Welcome to the Under the Capes podcast. I'm Tim, and I'm on a mission to build my own geek brand. To help, I'm going under the capes of all the best bloggers, cosplayers, podcasters, YouTubers, and other entrepreneurs to learn how they've built a following around doing what they love. How's it going, entrepreneurs? Welcome to episode 42 of the Under the Capes podcast. I hope everyone had a great weekend. I am spending it trying to get some work done on my cosplay for San Diego Comic-Con. It feels like there's still a lot of time, but it really sneaks up, and I know I'm still going to end up in the con crunch, but hopefully I'm able to get a good amount done beforehand so it's not too crazy. And my guest this week is an amazing cosplayer and costume designer, Alexis Noriega from The Crooked Feather, who makes these amazing realistic feather wings with real feathers and a ton of different styles, you know, from huge angel wings to eagle wings to, you know, like the Castiel style supernatural angel wings, kind of, you know, a darker style. You know, she's done fairy wings, like Charizard, bat wings, all kinds of cool stuff. And she custom makes them for cosplayers, fashion models, plays. And she also creates some amazing videos on her YouTube channel walking through helping other people to make these wings for themselves. And she comes to this episode with some awesome advice. We talk about, you know, how she creates the videos and how which ones go viral and which ones don't, how she's attracted a lot of press for her brand from being featured in articles for sites like People and Insider, and how she's improved her wing design and it's evolved over the 10 years that she's been building these wings. So really cool interview. Let's dive right in. All right, so I'm now joined by Alexis Noriega from The Crooked Feather. Alexis, thanks for joining me.
Absolutely.
So can you tell me a little bit about your origin story, how you got started in cosplay, and then how it became this business?
Yeah, well, when I was, I think I was 16 when I heard about my first anime convention, and I just wanted to go, but, you know, and I heard somebody told me that, you know, oh, lots of people wear costumes to these things. And I always loved making my own costumes for Halloween and stuff. So, one of my favorite manga was Battle Angel Alita. And so I decided to, you know, take some, old rollerblade pads and I spray painted them silver and like I did silver body paint and what all and made a little cape and went to this convention, and looking back, it was wretched, but I mean, everybody's first costume is, of course. And so I started with that, and I, you know, kind of found a second home at the con with all these other weebs joining me in the fandom. And so I got addicted and, you know, kind of snowballed from there. And yeah, it's where I am now. I mean, the business side of it really kind of started off just as the hobby. And people just asked me, you know, oh, man, those are really, you know, my first set of wings. Hey, those are really great. Can I order a pair? To which I said, okay, you know, why not? And, you know, it just grew and grew and grew kind of its own accord.
Yeah. Yeah. Wearing them at cons is probably the best way to promote them initially.
Yeah, well, and I did end up, like, once it started to be more of a business, I did end up, you know, getting booths to sell and to promote, but I found that just walking around wearing them was more beneficial, that especially since they're such large and expensive costume pieces, versus, you know, having a booth and being stationary. You know, people have to walk by and they think of it as something, you know, just to wear or to buy, and they don't see it really in action as much. So, I found that just going to conventions and, you know, being a guest and doing panels was a much more effective way of promoting them than actually trying to sell them at the conventions.
Yeah, and when the wings are like parting the crowds at conventions, it probably draws more eyes than just a booth.
Oh yeah, for sure. And you know, I've stopped traffic. Yeah. And I'm sure you can imagine that the security at the conventions don't like me too much.
Well, that's what at least most of your wings like fold back in, so it's a little more
yeah.
It helps a little bit walking around when you're not trying to make the big statement.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I still get stopped even when I'm trying to get somewhere. I'll definitely keep them in just so that I don't draw that crowd again. But I have a really hard time saying no when somebody asks me for a picture, unless I'm like actually late. Yeah. And so it definitely, like, if I just keep them in, I'm like, okay, yeah, picture. Okay, thanks, bye. But if I open them, then it's, you know, 20 more people are like, ah, we also need a picture. So.
And yeah, you said you did panels at conventions too?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I am of the mindset that, you know, keeping this to myself, you know, everybody says I should get a patent and, you know, make sure that nobody steals my idea, but I'm, you know, I didn't, admittedly, the exact process is mine, but, you know, each of the pieces is not a unique idea. For sure. And, you know, getting a patent means that nobody else, you know, I would have to go after people that, you know, quote unquote, copied my idea, which is not in the spirit, I think, of cosplay. I'd rather share the idea and let people make their own, especially as somebody who used to compete in competitions. It, you know, you have to make it yourself. And it is very hard when, you know, makers keep their ideas to themselves, especially if all you really do want to do is make this one or, you know, one or two costumes and do competitions with them. And you do want to make them yourself and you do want to learn. And so having had that frustration myself, I don't want to be the person being frustrating.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, I do tutorials online and I have a Patreon and I try and get, you know, if people want to engage and want to learn how to do this, I want to make it as easy as I can without, you know, monopolizing all my time with it. And so the other thing I really like to do is whenever I'm a guest at a convention, I like to give panels on, you know, the basics of wing making and what you need to consider and how they go together so that people have an idea of what's involved and can get started making their own projects.
Yeah, because it seems like there's kind of two different groups. There's the cosplayers that love making everything themselves, and then there's the other ones where it's like, I'll never be able to make wings that amazing. Like, I would rather just, you know, pay you to make them for me.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, there is this very high learning curve. You know, I've made at this point hundreds of them. And so mine are going to be better than your first set. You know, even with all of my tutorials and everything, there's only so much you can learn looking at a screen. You have to do it and you have to make mistakes. And those mistakes are going to be obviously in your first set. And so, a lot of people, you know, kind of get started and then they're like, geezums, this takes forever. And I'm like, yeah, it does. And they're like, eh, I don't have that kind of time. Here, take my money. And I say, okay, why not?
Yeah. Have you evolved the process from that first set of wings as far as like the actual mechanics of it? And I'm sure
it's
many iterations.
Oh yeah, there are many iterations. You know, the first set, I made my own linear actuator. You know, I was trying to make it as cheap as possible, but also with materials that I was more familiar with. And I was going based off of this guy in Germany. He did a build with PVC, and he used this piping material as his hinge. And I mean, he did a whole bunch of, and he used dowel rods. So like if a feather snaps, like it's broken and you have to make a whole new feather. And there were just a lot of things. And me, when I try something new, I have a tendency to find something that looks good and then I try and replicate it. And then I go from there rather than trying to improve on it before I even know, you know, what the good and bad parts are. And so from that design, I kind of, you know, said, okay, well, this PVC is awful. Round PVC is, you know, getting exactly centered on the PVC is very difficult. And because it's round, it likes to try and rotate. And so you don't get a good pivot point, yada, yada, yada. So I was like, okay, well, let's do square aluminum tubing because aluminum is more rigid. It's not going to have that bend and flop, which can actually fracture the PVC. And let's, instead of doing these hose pivot things that, you know, the feathers are constantly falling out of, let's try actually doing screwed hinges and so on and so forth. And I just kind of like try. It's all about problem solving. I mean, that's what engineering is, right? It's like you find a problem and then you solve the problem and you try and make it better. And so I just, you know, and I did that for one round and I was like, okay, well, this worked, but that didn't. And I probably made them five times before I kind of settled on this particular design. And we still are making small tweaks here and there, but I think we've settled on a relatively good system. So,
yeah, you always kind of got to be prepared to make everything twice when you're cosplaying anything.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. It's like every single time, as long as you take it as a learning experience, you know, don't be afraid of failure. That's how you learn. Mm-hmm. And just, yeah, exactly. Be prepared to make it again because you're going to learn so many things that first time and say to yourself, I can make this so much better. Mm-hmm. And it is absolutely within your interest to give it another try.
And that's something I feel like a lot of people you see like in your comments or whatever don't really understand price-wise is it's not just the, you know, whatever the materials are and whatever the, I think you said it once, but like 100 hours per wings or something, but it's also the, like,
yeah, it's between you've done before that. Yeah, well, it's the 60 to 100 hours, plus materials are not cheap, you know, I mean, these are pretty complicated machines, so... You know, depending on the mechanism, I mean, we're spending between $500 and $1,200 on just the parts, you know, so, and the materials. So, you know, if you're going to make them yourself, you can spend that yourself and then put in the hours yourself. It's just that because we know what we're doing, we're spending fewer hours on it. And so, you know, what is your time worth versus, you know, what is our time? And we do, and like, I've had so many people, especially in, the film industry and in fashion industry tell me that I'm actually undercharging. But again, as a cosplayer, I realize how expensive cosplay is. Yeah. And I want to make it as accessible as possible to everybody and still be able to afford dinner. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm trying to strike that balance, you know, make a living wage and make them as cheap as I can so that as many people as want them can still save up and get them. Mm-hmm. You know, this isn't, you know, just for big name industry people. It's for everyone.
Yeah, and I think that's great that you do so many YouTube videos too, because it does, even if your prices are outside their budget, they can still put their own time in and you make it possible to make wings. How well people have done getting to your level based on the videos, but it definitely makes it seem possible.
Yeah. No, if you take your time with it, there have been quite a few people. I think I just posted on my Facebook, a couple of patrons managed to make a couple sets that are dang near perfect. I mean, there's, again, obviously flaws. There's some things that they could fix, but, you know, considering it's their first set that they made, it's spot on, you know, and A+. So it is possible. It's just you got to take your time with it. You know, don't expect this to be a weekend project.
Yeah. Definitely. And yeah, you mentioned some of the higher end clients you work. Like you work with some models, some fitness competitors, plays. How have those opportunities come about?
Honestly, I just have a website. You can, and you know, this is kind of on the business side of it. If you have a product that you want to sell and you want to have out there, just having a portfolio on the internet, you know, with some tags like, you know, costumes or theater or whatever out there so that when people are searching for that for their production, it comes up. That's super helpful. And so that's all I've done is I've made sure that my website is readily available and accessible for people to search for. And, you know, so that if they're looking for wings or they're looking for costume pieces, I come up. And I think that that's part of it. And then the other part of it is, you know, just I've been having lots of these features come up. And so that kind of increases my notoriety, as it were. And so production companies see that and say, oh, this would be perfect for the thing we're going to do.
Yeah, like the features on like People and Insider, those had to be huge for you. How did those come about?
Well, usually how it happens is they do a media request through my email, or my Facebook or my Instagram or all three at once if they're particularly persnickety. And I pretty much, for the most part, am totally okay with anybody using my content without, you know, like they don't need to pay me or anything because it gets your name out there. And some people say, oh, well, I want to get paid for you to use the content that I put out. And I'm like, well, but it's also free advertising. And so while I know that they're making a bunch of money off of the videos I made, but I'm also not paying for all that advertising that I'm very clearly getting. So I think it's really good to, and I mean, it's part of my mentality too. I'm not greedy about my content or my design, you know. So I'm not particularly opposed to people using my content so long as it in some way benefits me. It's only when people like try, you know, don't tag me or something like that, that I start to get a little upset about it. But for the most part, I haven't really encountered anybody that's like trying to make a profit off me without, you know, asking my permission first. So.
Yeah. And there has to be that kind of give and take. Like if they aren't tagging you, you're not really getting the free publicity that was the whole point.
It's the whole point. Yeah, exactly. So, but so far it's been pretty good. There's only been a couple of videos that were a little weird, and the sometimes, you know, they ask me these questions and I answer the questions and then they put them out of context, or like with the wrong pictures. I forget which one did it, but they were like, oh, this is how she makes the wings. And then a couple of facts about those wings. And it's like, she makes her own fake feathers and showing me doing like an all real feather set. And then they're like, and then she uses square aluminum tubing. And it was like a single pivot laser cut aluminum set that was a totally different construction, you know, thing, just little things like that, that probably nobody else noticed or cared about. But I'm just like, you couldn't find better images to go with the captions, guys. Yeah. Not quite the same, but okay. Whatever.
Yeah. Do you ever look to like get a look at the final product or have input there? Or is it just kind of let them do what they will?
Sometimes they won't let me because I you know, it's, I don't know why. It's a policy not to, you know, share a video before it is released or whatever. And, but when it, I do request that they do that just so that I can, you know, and I point out, hey, I've had these videos either share misinformation or, you know, like once they said this cosplayer makes these incredible wings. Her name is the Crooked Feather. And it was, Luna LaFay cosplay, who's a friend of mine in the Valley, and she's done some modeling work for me, and we, you know, collaborate on a bunch of stuff, but like, she's not me. And, you know, it's like this cosplayer, and a bunch of people tagged her and were like, you made these? She's like, no, no, I didn't. You know, so things like that where I, you know, and I just point out like, hey, you know, these misunderstandings have come up in videos before. It would be really great if I could see the video ahead of time just to double check that there's nothing in there that you accidentally label incorrectly or say incorrectly that leads to a misunderstanding like that. And most are receptive to it. I've had a couple of times where they're like, oh, it's our policy not to share stuff before it's out. And it's like, all right, well, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And at least once you've kind of gotten recognized or your name out there from that, they can head to your YouTube videos for themselves and see the real process.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, and I actually first heard of you through the Variety video or the Insider video.
Yeah.
And then started following you because it's Like that, those videos are great to just give you just a peek of what you're doing.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, and they're a great overview, and usually they try and kind of take the best little snippets to, you know, show what they want. And you know, they're doing all the editing and the work and the advertising for me, and I just sit back, relax, and, you know, enjoy 3 days of answering email because madness.
Yeah, has that been the best way that you've promoted and kind of gotten the word out about the Crooked Feather, or what have you seen success with as far as, you know, social media channels, the cons? What's worked for you?
Honestly, like just like giving free access to of my media to, you know, insider. Anybody that asks me says they want to do like a little feature. And I just say, yeah, just make sure in the video captions it says the Crooked Feather, and it. Oh my goodness! Sorry.
Shop noises as promised.
Yeah. So what was I saying?
So yeah, just anyone. Who's,
Yeah. Anybody who asks me, I just say, hey, just make sure that the Crooked Feather is in it, and possibly Alexis Noriega if you want to squeeze that in there for the personal touch. But and then, like I say, in the caption of the video, like write it, or in the description of the video at the top, it needs to have a link to one of my things at minimum. And these are the links to the things I would like. If you can do all, great. If you can only do one, they're in order of importance. If you could do any of those, that'd be great. But a top, and then I also mentioned that a top comment is not sufficient because it doesn't go along with the video. Mm-hmm. So if somebody shares the video, you don't see the top comment from the original post. It only brings the post over. And so I just say that. I say, mention my name, make sure that I'm tagged, done. And for the most part, everybody's been cool with that. And, you know, the more features that get out there, you know, the more the name gets out there, the more exposure you get. And, you know, just putting out content that you think is cool, even short stuff. I mean, all of my videos that have gone viral have been like the short little demo videos. You know, I put together minute long demonstrations and cool, pretty videos that are, you know, edited and everything. And, you know, I'll get pretty low engagement. And then, you know, I put out a 2 minute or, a, you know, 2 second demo and that hits the fan. And I don't know why. So just, you know, put various types of content out there. Don't, you know, limit yourself to one kind of content because you think that's what people are going to like. Just go ahead and put up short stuff, long stuff, edit stuff, don't edit stuff. Just, you know, throw content out there and it'll get picked up. You know, if your stuff is cool, somebody will pick it up, you know?
Yeah, it seems like people are always trying to figure out what will go viral, but it's really just a matter of putting a lot out there and
seeing what sticks, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I definitely have found that trying to gauge what people are actually going to like is useless, because I've tried and pretty much everything I thought was going to go viral did not, you know, so, and everything I thought wouldn't possibly go viral because it's, you know, too short and stupid and shot on my phone, you know, that's what goes viral, so.
Yeah, I can see how just the really simple, like, 2 seconds showing some wings opening would be very popular, but then your more detailed videos are where you're going to get your really find your audience.
Yeah. Well, and that's, so I'm kind of catering to makers rather and cosplayers who make their own stuff versus people like, you know, like you have cosplayers out there who take lots of pictures of themselves and then their content is basically the photos of themselves, like that's their content, not necessarily the build itself. So while there, you know, certainly are builders out there, it's very hard, I've found, to kind of cross over from one to the other. So
I guess the few cosplayers that are able to do the mix of the two.
Yeah, no, and so like Kamui cosplay is like a huge inspiration for me because like she is definitely more of a maker, but then she finishes the costume and does a photo shoot and is like, ta-da. And both are, you know, successful areas for her. And I have trouble with that, but then again, I don't try very hard because I don't like pictures of myself, so that's an obstacle I should probably get over.
Well, it is good that you do have a great portfolio on the site, so pictures of your work are being taken at least.
Yeah, no, I just usually get other people in the photos. I'm like, no, you do it. I don't want to be in a picture.
Yeah, any other tips for creating content, whether it's through your YouTube videos or getting those finished pictures? Because yeah, across all of your channels that I've seen, you have a great mix of content and some great high quality content. Any tips there?
Honestly, I think it's a jump in both feet and just create whatever you can as much as you can. I actually feel like I don't put out enough content. You know, I just run into difficulties and, you know, table flip, whatever. I'll deal with this later, you know, and I'll go a couple of weeks without putting anything out just because I'm having difficulty like setting up the camera or getting things done or something breaks. And but you know, never let setbacks discourage you. Just, you know, create content, put it out there, whether it's high quality or low quality. It doesn't really, I think, matter so long as the content in the video is something interesting. And so if you think you have something interesting to show, you know, and all you can do is put it on your phone camera, then do that and put it out there. And I mean, worst case scenario, nobody watches it, you know? But I think that that's the thing is like that I've had so many videos that I was like, nobody's gonna watch this. Eh, whatever. I'll throw it up. And then it gets a million views. I'm like, I don't even know why. Whatever. The internet's weird, man. So I think just, you know, not getting discouraged and thinking that the content isn't good enough is silly because I think that about half the stuff I put out there, and that's the half that everybody seems to like. So don't sweat the small stuff and, you know, just get creating.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely slower to film everything than to
Yeah.
just kind of like crank out the work. So it definitely, it's a lot of extra work to create that content.
Yeah. And I think that's the problem I was having. That's why I created my Patreon, because I was trying to create these tutorials, but at first I wasn't getting paid for it. And I was like, you know what? Why am I not getting paid for this? Let's see if anybody would be willing to pay for it. And that way I can afford the equipment, and then I actually am getting paid for all this extra time, because it is an incredible amount of extra time, not just to like set up the camera and make sure you're getting a good shot, and you know, half the time you're not, so you have to do it again and again to get a good shot so that you can see what you're doing. And then on top of that, you now have like most of my videos, I usually have about 10 hours of content that I whittle down to 1 or 30 minutes or something. And, you know, that's a lot of, you know, fast forward editing and then also like clipping out, oh, this is a, you know, I had to redo it, so this is the better clip and this is, you know, this shows this better, and, you know, bringing everything into the right order because half the time I do it out of order, you know, just, and so, you know, it's days of work to get out one video. And, so, yeah, definitely like that's the harder part to do. And but I am glad that on YouTube that that's actually getting quite some really good reception is the ones that are, you know, harder to do. So are those tutorials. But
Yeah, when you're putting that much time into it, you definitely want some people to see it.
But I think that, you know, in terms of creating in general, like if you don't have anything this week to put out, but you think this one short little clip will be cool, put it up, you know, and don't worry about, you know, the 10-minute runtime, or and don't worry that it's on your phone camera. Just go ahead and do it.
Yeah, it definitely seems consistency at least is the key. Awesome. So, as far as the future goes, do you have any future plans for the Crooked Feather as far as where you want to take it?
Oh yeah. I mean, we moved into a actual real shop this year. I'm looking to expand the shop, get a bigger one, maybe in another location. And you know, hire more people. I have, how many do I have now? I want to, 4 interns, 3 of which now are subcontractors. And so, and you know, they're getting paid to make wings now. And so I'm hoping to expand that, get some more interns, get some more workers, making stuff. And that way I can concentrate more on development and, you know, creating different stuff. And that's kind of my concentration this year, is I want to definitely make sure I can do a little more product development and, you know, try new things and record everything I do so that when something explodes in my face, everybody can watch and laugh at me.
Yeah. And that'll go viral.
Oh yeah, sure. It's always the best stuff.
Yeah. Awesome. And, as far as any future promotion, do you have any, cons coming up that you're going to be going to, or is it mostly making now?
Oh no, I'm actually, that's the other thing that I'm trying to do personally, is trying to get to more cons, do more panels, kind of expand the maker movement, with some outreach. The next con I am doing is going to be Phoenix Comic Fest, which is Memorial Day weekend here in Phoenix, Arizona. And then I have quite a few cons coming up, but we're still negotiating a few for the summer. So what's next after that is, you know, up in the air. But I definitely am going to post everywhere I'm going will be up on Facebook and Instagram. So if anybody wants to see me in their area, you know, talk to your local con. I'm trying to get out there as much as I can. So happy to come visit wherever I am wanted.
Awesome. Yeah, so this has been great, Alexis. Do you have one piece of advice for someone just starting out trying to build a geek brand?
Keep at it. It's really hard because, you know, when I was first starting out, you know, I had a real job and it was definitely hard to kind of balance the two until the point where I couldn't. And the decision had to be made. Do I quit doing the geeky thing or do I quit doing the stable job thing? And, you know, I quit the stable job and it was hard for probably about 2 years. It was exceptionally difficult. But, you know, if you believe in your product and other people believe in your product and you think you really got something, and you have fun doing it, then stick with it. Don't give up at the beginning, you know, because everybody who's successful fails at the beginning. It's the end that everybody looks at, and that end isn't going to happen in a day. So just keep at it. And hopefully things will work out.
Awesome. Well, yeah, this has been really cool. Where can people go to follow you and see your con schedule when you post it and see your videos and all that good stuff?
Yeah, I'm pretty much everywhere. I'm under the Crooked Feather, except for Twitter, because they have this stupid, the rule with you can only have so many letters. So that one... I was just too long by, I think, one. So there you can find me at Crooked_Feather. But yeah, pretty much everywhere. If you search the Crooked Feather, I will pop up all over the place. So.
Awesome. Well, yeah, Alexis, thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, no problem. It was great to be here.
There you have it, guys. My interview with Alexis from the Crooked Feather. This was a really fun one. I really like the wing she does and the business she's built. It's amazing to see how much it's grown. And the one thing that I really liked, or the one thing of many that I really liked, was how she talked about guiding how you'd like press to cover your brand. Because Getting your name out there and getting press opportunities, like doing podcast guest appearances or interviews or the videos that she's been featured in, those can all be really great ways to promote your brand if it's presented well or correctly. So she really wants to make sure that those things are, you know, including the name of the brand, her name, the right social media links, and I think just being clear about those expectations with press when you're going through it can make sure that your brand is presented in the right way and that you get the most value out of the experience as you can, because that's really getting your name out there is the value for you and your, you know, all the people that come on this show. I really appreciate, because they're taking time out of their day to provide me and all you guys listening with some awesome advice and really cool interviews, and it's really great content for my brand. And the trade-off or the payoff of when you do things like this is hopefully they'll get some recognition out of it and some more new people to check out their brand. So I always try to make sure, you know, they're people listening know where to go to follow the person and correctly promote them so that they're getting hopefully the same amount of value out of it as I am. And that's something that you definitely want to make sure that whoever you're being interviewed by or whoever is featuring your work, you want to make sure that they're doing the same to make sure you get that value. So along those lines, you can follow Alexis and The Crooked Feather on Instagram at The Crooked Feather, Facebook, The Crooked Feather, Twitter at Crooked_Feather, and at TheCrookedFeather.com, and on YouTube as well at The Crooked Feather. And I'll include links to all of that in the show notes at UnderTheCapes.com/episode42. And in my own entrepreneur journey this week, the other thing that maybe this is what brought you to the show this week, or maybe you follow me on social and you may have noticed this, but one thing that I've started doing and I think is getting a good response and in a really cool additional way to promote my guests is turning some of the advice that they are giving into little quote images to share on social. So I did this for the past two episodes for episode 38 and 40, where I shared clips from past episodes and I used those images to promote them. And now I'd like to start creating those images right away when I interview someone, so I could pick out the best, you know, quotable pieces of advice that they give and use those to promote the brand and give some cool content along the way. So yeah, that's something that I've been trying lately. I'd love some feedback on how you guys think it is going. The other thing that was new was, or returning new, I guess, was last week with my guest hosts, Lee and Rob, who joined me for my Infinity War review and who have been on the podcast in the past, actually, in the San Diego Comic-Con, the pre-SDCC episode and the post-SDCC episode. And yeah, that was a lot of fun for me because they're two of my best buddies. So if that's something you guys like, if you'd like more episodes with a couple guest hosts, whether you're specifically loving Lee and Rob and you want them back, and they'll definitely be back, barring someone saying barring a lot of people saying how much they hate them, which seems unlikely. Or other guests, which could be cool, where, you know, we're not just doing interviews with guests, but, you know, bringing people on to just talk about different subjects. I'd love your feedback on that as well, for whether you liked the last episode, the Infinity War review, or whether you'd like to see more stuff like that. So let me know on social, Twitter at Under the Capes, Instagram at Under the Capes Podcast, and everywhere else. And yeah, thanks so much for listening. I hope you got something out of it. And I will talk to you in the next one. Thanks. Thanks so much for listening to the Under the Capes podcast. I hope this has motivated you to either start or help grow your geek business. If you like the show, I'd love if you could give us a rating or review on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you happen to be listening from. And feel free to connect on social media on Twitter at Under the Capes, Facebook at Under the Capes, and on Instagram at Under the Capes Podcast. Thanks so much, and have a great day.